Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for testers, developers, and software makers who live quality as an attitude. Get fresh ideas and sharp insights to grow your mindset, to learn new methods, and to drive real change in how we build software. Better software and better teams for a better world. Hello, Richie here, your podcast host. I'm happy to welcome you to another episode of Testing Unleashed. Today I talked with Kari Kakkonen. Kari has trained thousands of people, won awards, written books, and created the Act to Lead model, a fresh take on what leadership in software testing really means. And this episode is about this: why testing leadership is often missing, and why is that a problem for us in software testing? How Act to Lead gives a structure in chaotic test realities, and why we need both the automation part and the humans in the testing loop, and how transparency and context can save you from quality black holes. So are you ready for some sharp insights and really good dose of inspiration? So then, rock and roll and have fun. Hello, Kari. Fine to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, good
yeah.
to be here.
Yeah, for 1 week before we were on Bali with the ISTQB, and now...
Now in Belgium.
Amazing. At the testing retreat. So meeting in such a short time. And I saw there in at the ISTQB meeting, you presented your book and your model about testing and lead testing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great topic to talk about here.
It is.
So I will give you the word. What is this model about, or this?
So it's Act to Lead, and the background there is that I think there is not enough leadership in testing. I mean, teams are managing testing, teams are doing testing. That's like in a grassroots or team level. So it tends to happen quite well, but it's not really led. As in, you know, opportunities are created, or culture for good quality and good testing is enabled. That sort of thing is not happening in a big scale in companies. Mm-hmm. So all too often when I go, and also I have a co-author, Marko Rytkönen, who I co-authored this book with. We have seen over our careers that, you know, all too often when you go to higher level in companies, you realize that they actually don't know about testing. They realize testing must be done, and they might require, okay, yes, you need to do testing, but then it's not really understood. And you could say that the more you understand about testing, the better you can lead it, the more you can enable people to do good quality, and you can expect good quality. Mm-hmm. So you need to lead it actively.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You need to make it happen. and so that's why... that's why this Act to Lead. Mm-hmm. So, and again, why Act to Lead? Why do we call it Act to Lead? Is because if you want to have something easy to remember, something that, but it's easy to implement as well. You need to have a short way of saying how you can do that stuff. How you can make testing happen all over the companies, and not only with testers' minds and testers. Mm-hmm. Daily routines. So that's why Act to Lead, because that's a heuristic.
Yeah.
So that's like 8 characters,
mm-hmm.
and each character means something.
Mm-hmm.
So it has everything in it, really.
Mm-hmm.
So A means add testing to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So again, testing is not only happening when you get code and when you test. Testing is actually happening when you think about your budget of a software. Testing is happening when you think about what kind of vendor or supplier do I hire to create software for me. Also, you need to include testing in that thought process or decision. Mm-hmm. And then you want to think about what happens in production. How do I operate my software? Again, you are testing. Mm. You need to think about testing as well. How can I make sure it works? How can I check? How can I test it actually works? So that's A. Then there is C.
Mm-hmm.
So C is context.
Mm-hmm.
testing is not everything or same in every place. It's different based on the context. So you need to understand the context.
Mm-hmm.
Context-driven testing, context is everything. You need to understand what kind of business it is, what kind of domain, what kind of technology, what kind of team, how much money. Are we in a hurry or not? And you know, it really depends. And you need to choose your testing based on your context. So as we see, T is transparency.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we do, we should do it visually. We should give information to everybody. We shouldn't hide if we are doing a lot of testing or a little testing. We should actually be thinking about, let's share our testing to everybody. If we find defects, let's share, but we have problems with quality. Because then you have better chances of everybody helping and pitching in and creating better quality.
But it's, I think there is also the part of aggregating this information. Yeah. So we have a lot of information metrics and defects and all this stuff to make it more of the fitted to the audience.
Definitely. So let's not give all the details because people will have information overload and that's not the idea, of course. But still, let's not hide either.
Yeah.
Let's make it available. Let's create the dashboards and whatever kinds of easy to understand ways about our quality, and especially I think it's very visible if you have multiple stakeholders in the play or multiple vendors or suppliers in the play. It's all too easy to have borders and boundaries. But okay, they do their thing. We don't know exactly what, but we have defined in a contract that we need to do that part of testing, and okay, let's just trust them on that. So transparency there means that, let's not only trust, let's actually make it visible. What do we require? What do we get? What is actually happening? So that's the transparency part. Okay, then we have a fourth character, and that's two. And that means that we always need automation and human being.
Yeah.
We need both things. So it's definitely, you can't have only one of the two. Even for this, today's world is going towards automation all the time. So, more and more test automation, more and more delivery automation, CI/CD pipelines and all that. It's not only that. You still need human people. You need exploratory testing, you need creativity, you need new ideas, and these are coming from human beings. So you need to find a way in your own context to fit in both automation and human beings, because you need both. So that's number two. What do we have? L. L is learning. So it means that you can't know beforehand what is actually needed. You need to test. And through that, you learn how the software works. And you learn also how to make maybe test better. So you need to learn to test and test to learn, both ways.
That's very, very interesting, because I wrote a blog article last month about the testing is e.g. the profession that you learn a software product deeply so you get, understand what it has to do.
It is, exactly. And we had just a nice discussion earlier today about are testers like very focused people, or actually are they broader people?
Yeah.
And I think testers are actually very broad people, because they learn about the whole software and where it fits and everything. I think if you ask one person, if you need to ask one person, how does this software work? What is this software all about? You actually should go to the tester.
Yeah.
Because tester has the big picture.
Having
thought of it from many angles and risks how it should work and how it actually does work.
Because the tester needs all this information for his work.
So that's the learning part. And I think it's quite important. But it's not the most important, because the next one is actually, I think, the most important part. And that's the E. E in the tech, act to lead. And that's enable testing. Enable quality culture. Actually create the circumstances where good testing can happen. Make it a rule that you should test well. You make it the rule that you should talk about problems and failings and learn from that and not blame people. And every day do that. Don't forget to mention testing. all the time,
yeah.
or mention good quality all the time. That's really from the higher you go in a company into the top management, the more important it is that people keep saying that, you know, testing is important.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think about quality as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean that a CEO of a company would be doing hands-on testing, but in a way they should be actually talking about testing and, yeah. and quality, and you know, not letting it be responsibility of a team only.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a big cultural change for a lot of companies.
It is.
To go there. Yeah,
it is definitely. It's too easy to say that. Yeah, we have some testers. They do what they
yeah.
do, and then you realize. So you ask, let's say a CTO.
Mm.
So what do we do? Mm. I don't know. Well, I suppose they run some test automation, they do some checks.
Mm.
Okay, that's a good start, but it's not really enough.
Mm.
Because again, if you would ask, okay, so what do you think the developers do? Or maybe what do you think the architects do? Actually, the answers would be more precise. They actually do know how you do create code, or you use version management, or you use Python there, or C there, and Java there, and whatever.
Mm.
So actually, the answers are usually more precise.
Yeah. Mm.
So I think it just proves that there's a lack of testing knowledge.
Yeah.
So that can be fixed.
Yeah.
What else? We have adapt to risks.
Mm-hmm.
So all of testing actually should be based on risks. So
yeah.
high focus risk areas, more testing.
Mm.
Quite simple.
Yeah.
And so that's really the last A, adapt to risks. And then also we have D.
Mm-hmm.
That one is I think, second most important after the E, so that's diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning testing needs to be diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And in diverse in every possible way. So
yeah.
use multiple test techniques, use multiple people, use multiple test approaches, use multiple kinds of people, multiple suppliers, multiple environments, anything multiple.
Yeah.
And the more is better, basically.
Mm.
So you can't choose only one approach.
Because
this might be thinking of a manager somewhere.
Yeah.
But okay, give me the best choice.
Mm.
We'll take a best choice, a best something tool or best something approach.
Mm.
We will use test automation for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like that.
Yes.
Because you need all kinds of things, and the different angles support each other.
Yeah.
And then you actually have good quality.
Yeah. I have the picture of if you're in a cave with a flashlight.
So yeah.
If it, you just put the flashlight in, you see one spot there.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't see the cave. So you have to look at different angles and to different perspectives to get the whole picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. It is definitely. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's why. So that's the acronym ACT2LEAD.
Mm.
So there's not too many things there because I think in the end, the higher you go in the companies, yeah, you don't need to know the detail of testing, but you do need to know enough so that you can be active in that relationship between the business and running a company and then requiring software. And when somebody's creating that software and testing that software, you need to know enough to be active there. So...
Mm-hmm. And this acronym, I see that also as a checklist.
It is a checklist
to view and at my company, at my organization.
Yeah.
Who is in charge of this job? Is it the test manager who's looking at this, or the CEO or the CTO or a consultancy or a coach?
Well, it can be. It depends on the context, as we see. But in general, I would say that there is a demand for a role in a big company who is in charge of testing.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be head of testing, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So all too often there is the CTO who maybe used to be an architect or a developer. And or maybe just a business guy, and that's fine. But you know, somebody needs to be taking care of testing.
Yeah.
Because if testing happens only in those teams, and if teams are self-organizing only, which is great and fine, and I believe in autonomous teams quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. But if all the teams are taking care of their own testing, and they have different ways of doing it. In a big company, I don't think that's enough. So you also need somebody who is in in charge of testing is wrong, but it is taking care that testing happens all over the software that, and well, developing software, but it's much needed. And so it comes down to having somebody there, like head of testing, having some general testing guidelines, not really dictating same rules to all the teams, but giving kind of minimums. Okay, you need to do as at least that much.
Yeah,
and then you need to find your ways in your team, in your context, how to actually apply those. So, and it could be testing communities, so you know, people sharing their ideas with other people interested in testing. And I'm saying testing, not testers, because I think testing is also something that anybody can actually do.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. So you wrote a book about this model, and how deep do you go in each of these segments, and what do you deliver with EG4 enabling for this stuff?
Quite a bit, actually. So it's actually surprisingly heavy book. So its subtitle is Software Testing Leadership Handbook, and it is really lots of information, like almost 300 pages, and it is made in a form of questions, because very often when you want to find answers, you don't know exactly what you need, but you have your question. So it is actually questions. How do I make testing more diverse? How do I cope with testing terms? How do I recruit testers? So things like that. So it goes more deeper than just those 8 letters. But the 8 letters are good start.
And they
kind of make you think about these things. And so the book is actually, it goes really deep. And even for we actually wrote it, with the CTO or CXO level person stereotype in our minds, and we've seen lots of people on that level. It actually turns out we wrote so much content that it works also for any test manager or tester or even a student in IT who needs to know and learn a bit of testing. It also works for them.
Yeah, I think I like the approach to make it with questions, so like a big FAQ, because if you go to test and we look at it, you have questions, and you have, if I have a normal book, so I have to read everything and have to transform it for myself, but with this question I can more relate to the content.
Exactly. And if you are in a hurry, if you're a busy person, and I appreciate that any, let's say, CEO is a very busy person, I don't expect every CEO to read every detail about everything that happens in their company. But I'm sure they have questions, and I'm sure they can read the summary, and I'm sure they can deep dive into something that they have a worry about something. And in this book, there's the answer for that. And in easy to way, format. And it doesn't yet teach you how to test. So actually we on purpose cut away all content like that. So when we was writing it, we noticed that, now we're actually writing towards the tester audience, and it goes more technical and too technical. And we actually ditched maybe like half of the chapters, because they were just not right for the CXO level kind of thinking or need.
Kari, very, very much thank you very much for joining this podcast here.
Thank you so much.
Testing retreat was very interesting. It gives me another perspective, like we said, another perspective on testing and how to implement testing. So thank you very much to be here.
Thank you so much.
And we will see what our testing retreat will be bringing to the next.
It will be so much more fun.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.